in this place. And it is I'm not afraid.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. That's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
All right, all right. Do you value God's choice? I tell you, that's something we all have to learn to do, and that is to value what God had for us. Yesterday we talked about how to value yourself. And so we got to learn how to value the things that God has for us, that God has in us, that God has around us. It's something about having a grateful attitude. When you develop a grateful attitude, the world seems a little bit brighter. Matter of fact, when bad days come, the storm don't seem so stormy. Amen. Don't mean you won't get wet. Don't mean the lightning won't strike. Don't mean you won't get just soaked from head to toe, type of thing. But it do mean you're going to still come out with your hands lifted up. It do mean that it won't take you out. It may delay you, but it won't deny you. And so when you have an attitude that's full of gratitude, it changes your whole perspective on everything. Hey, good evening, everyone, wherever you may be in the world. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. Hey, here we have a wonderful Bible program that we're going to be talking to you about later on, a little study, little life application teaching. We're going to play some wonderful music for you. But before we do all of that, I love testimony. One of the favorite parts of church service for me growing up was the testimony service. I love Sunday school too, but I really enjoy testimony service. Now, we can't do testimony service like we used to because some people, they get in front of the church and start telling off on people. They get that wrong attitude. They tell too much of the bad stuff and don't really tell nothing of the good. And so here on this program, I encourage you to tell of the goodness of Jesus Christ operating in your life, in spite of the bad that may have happened, in spite of the setback, in spite of the things that may have hindered you. I want you to be able to push all the ash away. I want you to be able to push the leaves to the side, blow them off, and I want you to find that treasure that God has given you, that provision that God has still provided for you in the midst of your chaos. And just tell somebody that God is still blessing his people. Tell somebody that God is still healing his people. Maybe you had a migraine. Maybe you had a backache. Maybe your foot was hurting. Maybe you stomped your big toe, but you still got it. I just want you to tell of the goodness of Jesus. The word of God says over in Revelation, it says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I believe that scripture. I take it personally. I take it just as what it says. I believe that my testimony has so much weight that it's waiting to bless somebody, to encourage somebody. So on the Six Eyes Motivational Monday, hey, let's check that out. Here's my little song I like to sing before we start. I believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, I believe I testify while I have a chance. I believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, I may not have a chance anymore. Testimony service is open. Hey, give God the glory. 3, 2, 1, it's your turn. Somebody share.
I want to thank God that this happened about a week ago, but this was really interesting. Sometimes when you're blind and you go to do cooking sometimes, you have these little mishaps. And I happened to mention it Sunday, yesterday, on the Six Eyes Radio Network, and we were talking about it because we were talking about cooking things. And I just want to thank God today for, during testimony service, that sometimes you don't know how God will protect you. And this happened. I was cooking, and I was baking something in the oven, didn't even realize that on the cookie sheet I had also had one of my oven mitts. And I had the oven on 300 degrees, and we had the item in the oven for about 40 minutes. And by the time I got done, that oven mitt almost started to burning, but luckily didn't catch on fire. So God knew how to protect us and keep the house from going up in flames and all that kind of thing. So, yes, God is able. Amen.
Amen. He is a keeper. Yes, he is. He's a protector. Yes, he is. And I thank you for sharing that testimony. Amen. Because sometimes we are all challenged. Hey, Missionary Ken, it ain't just the non-sighted that makes mistakes like that. People that got two good eyes sometimes put the wrong thing. They have something leaning on the stove, not aware. All kinds of mishap happens sometimes because your attention get diverted elsewhere. And so God knows how to keep us safe. Amen. I like that. Thank you for sharing. Amen. I heard Brother Charles trying to speak as well. So, Brother Charles, go right ahead, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Making the woke list this morning was definitely a blessing. I had a very productive day. Got my cables I needed to get here. I want to thank Candy helped me pick them out, so thanks for that. Got my laundry done, about to have some dinner later, so just all the blessings God has bestowed upon me. Continue to bless my endeavors and keep us all healthy and strong. So that's my testimony. Thank you. I'm complete.
Amen. 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 That God will give you your daily bread. God will He will help you get what you need to be successful, to succeed in life. Man, I tell you, that's a good testimony. That's a wonderful testimony. Amen. Thank you for sharing, my brother. Amen. Thank you for sharing. All right. Is there one other? Amen. Amen. Is there another testimony out there in the land? All right. Well, I guess I share my testimony. Amen. Amen. I had a rough week on last week, and I tell you, with the weather raining like it was, it was making it hard to be able to do the yards because it slows you completely down. Had to put one piece of equipment in the shop. Had to the wheat fly had to replace the equipment, piece of equipment that got stolen, or we're gonna say got misplaced in somebody else's hands. but the piece of equipment that I needed, I had to go and repurchase that. And I tell you, it been challenging. And the forecast was rain. And I was like, Lord, how can I get this work done? And I'm not going to be able to get it done. I'm going to be shut down. And out of the blue, got a call to do another job, which paid me what I would have made, would have paid me over that which I would have made if I was able to complete all the work assignments for the rest of that week. And so God, he knows how to send you your blessing right at the right time. And when it came to me, I said yes, even before I finished checking the whole schedule. I said, I catch up on Saturday, this, that, and the other, and I tell you, God knows how to fix it for you. So I just want to thank God for just being a provider. Amen. A lot of times when you make certain big ventures, every now and then in the back of your mind, you're wondering how you're going to manage to keep things afloat. But when you just trust God to do him, he shows you what to do with what he gave you in your hand. And so I just want to say thank you, Lord, for showing me what to do. Amen. And so that's my testimony. Amen. Amen. How everybody doing this Monday afternoon? I mean, any big plans for this week before we jump into the next sound tonight? Anybody got any big plans coming up?
Just working in the studio. That's my big plans. Before we get go any farther, I lost a radio colleague. I did radio with, so I wanted to say condolences to DLW. He passed away Sunday, so I just wanted to send out condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network. And my thoughts and prayers goes out to your family and friends at this difficult time. So rest in peace. God bless.
Amen. Amen. We're definitely praying for the family in their time of bereavement, that they do not just drift away, but they utilize this as an opportunity for family to get a little closer. In society today, a lot of times families drift apart, and because of work and the busyness of life, once upon a time, you know, families was close. I was sharing with my brother the other day, and me and my sons had decided that we're going to start spending some time together. And my nephew told me, said, next time, how long do you do it, man? And I said, you know what, I'm going to invite you and your daddy. I said, because, man, I said, it's good for the family to get together, but every now and then, and this is for men, we need to come together and talk about real talk, real things that's involving in our lives, have those real open conversations, because a lot of times there's thoughts in our mind that may sound right or may sound foolish, but until we share with someone, we don't know which is which at times. And so it's something about being in the right atmosphere around the right people at the right time. It encourages you, it deals you. And the Bible says that iron sharpens iron, and men sharpen the conscience of his friend. And so when we learn to help one another and be there to encourage one another and be that support and learn from one another, man, we end up being better. And so when yesterday, and I guess this is part of another testimony in a sense, my two sons and my brother, we was able to go down to the lake and just sit back and just relax, man. We threw the fishing poles out there, man. I wasn't really trying to fish. I just wanted to be sitting out there. And my youngest son said, "Nah, we're going to get some bait. We're going to get a real bait. These fake bait ain't going to do it. I want to catch a fish so I can clean them and eat them." He said, "I want to catch a fish." And really, I just wanted just to relax and just be in one another's company, man, and just sit back and chill. My older son have a drone, and, man, we flew the drone around, man, and that's kind of neat. You know, initially, I had called him to do a kite because he has a two-strand kite, the one that you have to maneuver up in. But once you get it up there, man, you can really make that thing do a lot of stuff with two strings. And but he came to the house and showed me the drone. I was like, "Man, okay, this is what we're gonna do the next time." And so, man, we went out there with that drone, and I tell you, you can fly that thing till you can't see it, but the camera on it lets you see where you're at. And that was just real neat to do. I encourage you that are listening, life is short. Enjoy your family. Life is short. Enjoy the loved ones in your corner, in your circle. Let us learn to take time. 2 weeks ago, we buried a friend of ours. He hadn't too long, just bought a new house. Businessman, family man. He a friend to almost everybody. You didn't know nobody had anything to say bad about him. He's the type of man that helped people get jobs, helped people establish themselves. Him himself being a heating and air guy. He was foreman over some company, apartment complex, where he oversees many other people. But you can call him up and he'll tell you what to do, not charging you, come out to take care of you. He was just a friend, a good friend. And my brother saw him that morning. I was supposed to do a flower bed for him, outline the flower bed at the new house. And I've been busy trying to catch up with this rain. And he was supposed to call me back that evening to remind me. But when he called, he get a call from the wife letting us know our friend had gone on to be with the Lord. And so you have to enjoy your friends while you have them, your family while they are there, because we don't know when our last day will be. A lot of times we're looking for people to be real sick before they die or something like that. But all it takes is one accident. And that's why I pretty much coined that phrase. Many people hear me say all the time now, I don't even know where I got it from, but I've been saying it now for several years, that my name made the wolf list. I'm giving God glory for that because I'm here. And Brother Six, I even started saying it in the afternoon. And then I say, "Hey, I made the afternoon list too." And, man, because life is just that precious. And I think it's so important for us to value that life.
Yes.
And so, you know, I appreciate Missionary Ken. I appreciate you. I remember Missionary Ken called me a few weeks ago, and because I've been struggling trying to kick off the show on Monday. Not that it's a hard thing to do, but trying to build a business. And Monday was already one of my primary days of doing this service. And just most people don't know, I'm coming in right at the time to come on, full of dirt from head to toe, full of grass, you know, from working. And it's been times I had to dust off and just do the whole program, 2 hours sitting with dirt on my body, so that I can be faithful to this. But God touched his heart. He said, man, we are workers together. He said, man, let me start the show for you so that if you're running behind, man, you got time to come in and get your mind focused on what you're doing and come on. And I know we don't have to tell people this, but I want to say to him thank you, because he didn't have to really do it. He didn't have to volunteer his time, because that is an additional sacrifice, because he has his own program show. And so I say thank you to stuff like that, because it's, when the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you will present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Many people don't really understand what that means to make your body a holy sacrifice. That means sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable for you to do things to help others, but you do it because the help is needed. And it's in
well,
you
Pastor
to do.
Pastor Bonnet, let me just say in response to what you're saying, I just want you to know that it gives me an extra chance, one more day to play DJ on the Six Eyes Radio Network. That's why I enjoy doing it. Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried about it at all. I'm just saying thank you. This is the dialogue for our listeners to know how unique our program is, the help we have to encourage them, because they don't know what they're trying to do in life, but they need somebody in their corner. One of the reasons why people used to ask me, man, you, when I was just a regular elder in the church, and I was doing so many different things, somebody saw me cleaning the bathroom. Hey, elder, why are you cleaning the bathroom? It was dirty. But it was dirty. This is my church. So I got to clean it. But don't bitch, you got somebody. Man, listen, if we got to wait for somebody else to do it, some things never get done. The Bible says, whatsoever your hands find to do. And so many people pass. It's amazing. And I've seen this happen. I've seen people walk past paper and look at it as if it was a shame. Oh, somebody need to pick that up. You just walked past it with two good hands. and make a complaint about it. So I said it earlier, having a spirit of gratitude, learning how to be humble, and this world will be a better place if the motto for human beings was, I am my brother's keeper. If that was the motto for the human race, for real, we would be a wonderful world. I am my brother's keeper. And because to understand what it means to be a keeper to your brother, it simply means that which he doesn't see that needs to be done, you got him covered. You're there to help. And you're not necessarily looking for something in return, because there's going to be something in your life that's going to need to be covered, and you're going to need someone to cover you. It's when we take on that type of spirit, we are better together. We are more successful. And that's why it's so important for the spirit of unity to be a primary thought in your heart and mind, a spirit of unity. It's one thing, and it's real simple. All of us, most of us, have at some point in education or schooling or home, have had a puzzle And when you bought the box of puzzles, whether it was a tube or a box, on the outside of the box was the picture of the puzzle. But on the inside of the box was all the pieces to that puzzle. Now, unity is successful when we are all together doing the same thing for success. But these pieces that's in the box, they're gathered together, but they're not in unity because the picture is not complete. It's only when each piece begins to fall in its perspective position on the plane of that canvas. It's only when each piece is lined up accordingly do we see true unity that reveals to us the picture. And any organization, whether it's a basketball game, football game, baseball game, any organization that wants to be successful, the members of that organization must work together. And the better they are able to work together, the better they are able to have the outcome in which they are looking for. And so we want to encourage people to have the right outlook in life. Let me go to a soundtrack. Amen. Didn't even talk that much. I just got stirred up in the testimony, and I tell you, I enjoyed the testimony. Thank you, Mr. Ned Ken, again.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
You gotta hear before it happens, believe before it happens, receive before it happens. You got to know it's gonna happen. It won't be, but God said this one's on me. I know it's hard to see, but God said this one's on me. But God said, sometimes it's hard to see, but oh, God said, hold me. Gotta see it before it happens, believe before it happens, see it before it happens. You got to know. It's gonna happen. But God said, it's gonna happen. Oh, I swear.
Destiny. It's too important to give up. promise you that you'd get. Waiting on the other side.
You know my mind goes back a few years ago, back down in South Carolina. Me and my family, we lived there on a little old farm. And you know how it is sometimes when things get hard, y'all. Many days, mama don't know where the next meal is coming from. But this day, as we labored there in that old cotton field, after we'd work all day long, we didn't have no food to eat. You know how mother is, y'all. When her child is in trouble, mama's in trouble also. And that day, we sat there on this farm, and I saw the tears coming out of mother's eyes. And I went around my mother, and I said, Mama, tell me what's wrong with you. And she said, Son, I've always tried to provide for my family. But you know what happened, y'all? An old lady came along that day, and she told my mother, she said, you young in age now, and you're not aware of what the law can do. But she said, if you would just go down, go down, go down, go down, to somebody's church, and fall down on your knees and call Jesus. Tell him, Lord, Lord, oh, Lord, 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 I want you to make a way for me and for my family. But you know what? I went to my mother that day. I thought about what my father said. He said, son, if you hold on to Jesus' hand, he'll make it all right. I went to her this day and I told her, Mama, don't worry about it. Because I told her, better days are coming. Ooh, we love it, love it, love it. that, but we'll overcome. I kept on telling Mama better. Oh, bye, 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 bye. I looked to the hills and I said, bye.
Will make a way. I know that he will. I've seen it and he will. Oh, God will bring you out. I know that he will. Just let him make a way.
God will make a way. I know that he will.
I know he will.
Way.
He will make a way. Thank you, Shirley Caesar. God will make a way. He will work it out. You just need to have faith. Hey, I need to have it too. Amen. Speaking of faith, let's talk about conquering faith. Amen. Conquering faith. What is conquering faith? Conquering faith, that word conquer, that's to overcome, to have victory. So conquering faith, do we have conquering faith? Faith that stays with us till we get the victory. Faith that remains with us as we receive and walk in victory. There's some things that God has promised in his word, and if we would just stick to the word of God, we can have conquering faith. One tonight, I want to give you about 5-6 questions, yeah, that we're going to try to identify and outline tonight. Amen. How do we recognize the spirit of the Antichrist and false teachers? There's so many teachers out there, false, some true. So, and how do you recognize the spirit of Antichrist? We're going to deal with that question on tonight. Amen. What role does the Holy Ghost play in the believer's life? What role does the Holy Ghost play in the believer's life? Amen. That's something very important that we need to know. The position of the Holy Spirit, his purpose in operating in us and through us. Amen. Why do we not fear the day of judgment? I'm talking about all believers. Why we should fear the day of judgment. And the day of judgment is coming. You know, there was a time, a movement here in America where the preachers was preaching hellfire and brimstone. Amen. That day of judgment. But for the believers, we're not worrying about that day. No. We don't fear that day coming. There's a reason why we don't fear that day. We want to talk about that as well. Amen. How do we ensure that confidence does not become arrogance that turns others away rather than attracting them to Christ? A lot of times, you know, we can be so bold in our faith, and it may be a little distracting or pushing away of others concerning how they receive you, your boldness. There's a certain way that you can do that will push people more so than pull people. The Bible said that the common people heard Christ gladly. Did they hear you pretty much gladly? How are people receiving you? Amen. And then, number 5, we want to, how do we battle against and overcome the world while showing the love of God? We'll say that again. How do we, because maybe you got this question, how do we battle against and overcome the world while showing the love of God? Because sometimes, you know, in trying to battle against the world and overcome the world, sometimes we compromise the integrity that God is developing in us. And we begin to use choice words when we talk to people. So we're going to discover how can we do that. Amen. And if time permits, we're going to talk about Jesus Christ already declared victory. Why is that so significant for the believers to remember? Okay, let me say it one more time. Jesus Christ has already declared victory over the world. Why is this so significant for us as believers to remember that. He's already declared victory. Amen. So we're going to talk about that a lot today. Amen. Amen. So those of you that have your Bibles, and I hope you do, and if you have your smartphone there, and let me serve notice to you, if you don't have a Bible on that so-called smartphone, it's a dumb phone. But we're going to help you today. Go to your app store, download the Bible. There's a free version there, so it don't cost you nothing, even if you're using Apple. Download that free version. And that way, while you're going through all of these different social medias and looking for this and looking for that, as you're trying to live and enjoy life, you can stop and go to the Bible. Put your faith in the Word of God. It'll do you better. Amen. So a conquering faith. One of the Bible truths here is we want to avoid false teachers claiming to be sent by God. Even before I read my text tonight, there was a prophet in the Bible whose name not written in the Bible, who was sent to do something to bless a group of people, a city. And he went and he did as he was instructed to do. He went and delivered that message. But he didn't deliver, he delivered the message, but he didn't follow through with the instructions that came with the message for him to do. Yes, he preached a good word. Yes, he shared with, thus saith the Lord. But God told him, don't stay in the city. God told him, leave a different way. Don't let nobody hinder you. Get on out of there. There was so happens, an old prophet that used to be effective. And he was in the city, and he asked his son, where's the fella? And he got on his horse, and he rode and caught up with the man and said, hey, the Lord said for me to feed you. Come on at my house and take care of you. You deliver this mighty word. And what that prophet should have did, he should have stood with what God said. Now, I'm paraphrasing this on my side, so not to be so long. So he went home with that prophet, that man of God, that old preacher. He went home with him, and God had already told him what not to do. He sat down and ate and enjoyed the meal. Then God spoke to the old man, the old preacher. He told him, tell my prophet, since he did not obey, he's not going to make it home, and his bones won't make it home. And so he had to deliver this message after deceiving this young man. And he delivered the message. And before he can get out of the city, his bones were ate. He met a beast that devoured him, flesh and bone. And even though he delivered a good word, and it was from God, because he was disobedient, he didn't make it. Because he gave heed to a false prophet. He gave heed to a seducing spirit. So that's our woe. So how do we avoid false teachers? How do we avoid that? Well, the simple answer is you try the Spirit by the Spirit to see if it is of God. That's the simple answer. But we're going to get into some. So you have your Bibles yet? Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up the New Living. I love the King James. It is good to keep us in unity. But I was reading the New Living Translation on this, and it blessed me with the verse 1. So once again, we're at St. John chapter 4. We're going to start reading here. We're going to read the first 3 verses. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Verse 2, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Well, wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it in the world." It is in the world. Already is in the world. So we have to break down that word Antichrist. That word anti means against. So against Christ. It's amazing how in the world today, people don't mind you praying God, which is a generic term, by the way. The word God is a generic term. It's a description. There's a lot of people praying to a lot of different gods, but they're not God. The original creator, and he sent his one and only son, the Christ, his anointed. And so when people hear Jesus in this day and time, at the writing of this writing, there was a group, a movement of Gnosticism. And Gnosticism had a teaching that was anti-Christ. And they was teaching that God could not come in a man's form, in a man's body, that Christ was not he was not the God-man, but he was a man who was enlightened. And that's the way that Gnosticism come, is from a word named known, or to know. And so whether you're looking at it in the Greek or the Latin. And so that teaching of Gnosticism was denying the total body of Christ. And believers as a whole, regardless of the denomination, we teach that Christ was 100% man and 100% God. And even though your mind say, how can he be one and both? I just want to remind you that he's God, we're not. He spoke into nothing and said, let there be, and then there was. So whether you can comprehend anything on a higher level or not, understand, we can't speak, let there be light, and not touch the switch on the wall to turn on the light. We can clap our hands and got the clapper, and the light may come on, but we can't just speak into darkness and command light without electricity to appear. So how can we tell God how to be? Now, there's a reason why he was all God and all man in one container. But we don't have time for it in this lesson. We'll come back to it. So let me move forward, because I want to answer those six questions that I gave you. But I must read the outline from the scripture, because within the scriptures are our answers to what we are looking for. For my King James Version lovers, I want to read verse 2 and 3 again. It says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherefore ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world." Amen. Jump down to the 13th verse there. Jump. Come on, jump. Jump, Ken. All right. You jump. All right. Good. "Hereby know that hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit." Verse 14. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwell in him, and he in God." Now let me pause there, because I don't want to miss this one particular point, because Christ was emphasized here in the third verse, okay? And the Bible, when we get to the 13th verse, it's talking about we know because the Spirit of the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit, okay? In your King James Version, you should see that Spirit is capitalized, letting you know it's talking about the person, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. So it's not just talking about any generic spirit. It's talking about God's Spirit himself. Amen. And so hereby know we that we dwell in him, talking about Christ, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. So this is one of the things that takes us back to understanding that the Trinity was already being taught. Although the word Trinity is not used in the Bible, teaching of the three in one is. And these are the things that begin to highlight to you the nature of God. Okay? And so you see these hidden jewels in scriptures like this one. Okay, so if it's talking about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit applies to the Father, now here the Holy Spirit is being applied to the Son of God, or Jesus Christ. And so it lets us know if the Holy Spirit is applied to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is applied to the Son, and there's only one Holy Spirit, then that Holy Spirit is part of that one, what we call God. This is the triune being. And so it breaks down the nature of God for us. And I thought I'd just throw that one in there. We don't really have much time to stay on that. But I just wanted you to see that it's there. Amen. And you're welcome to go back and read it at your leisure. And I'm going to pick up with the, that's what I meant to, I read it. New Living. Man. Okay. Okay. Earlier, I read King James again, but I meant to read the New Living, and I did not. So let me back up. Discerning false prophets. So, again, let me just recap some things. It said, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the spirit they have come, they have come from God. Test them to see if the spirit that they have actually comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This, and that's why you want to test them. You want to test them. Somebody coming and they say they're speaking to you in the name of the Lord. Well, understand this. God knows all the words he's put out into the world. And God is not a schizophrenia person. So he does not change. He is not going to tell you to do something that contradicts what he's already declared as right or wrong. He's not going to give you special permission to do wrong when he has declared it to be wrong. So you have to be mindful of these things. So anyway, moving forward, this is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claims to be a prophet, acknowledge that Jesus Christ come in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. And the reason why, again, that this was taught that way, and that this particular time, because of the group of Gnosticism that had came out, that was denying the personage of Christ in Jesus. So they were denying the God in Jesus. And because they were denying that, they were saying that he was not the Son of God, just a man who was enlightened. So, and that day and time, so John felt to push that wisdom out there so that we'll be mindful that there are deceivers out there. Because you have some now will say that Christ did come in the body, but then they begin to add other things to it. They too inadvertently is part of that Antichrist movement. And so any time they begin to contradict what God's word has declared, had Joseph Smith, and excuse me for calling the name, but I call this name because he's the founder of this organization. Joseph Smith's testimony was that he was in the woods. He had sailed out and thought he was going to lose his life, and he thought this was it. He could breathe. What the medical field has come to the understanding of his own testimony description is he had felt he was having an epilepsy seizure. But his testimony goes on to say that he thought that his life was about to end. And he asked God what church was right. In that testimony right there, I stopped and reread it to be sure. I don't know about you, but if it was me, if I was about to die, I would not be asking God what church is right. I would be asking God, don't let me die. Save me. Now, I may eventually get to what church you want me to go to. I may get to that point. But to ask God what church is right, and he said that God told him, he said a form appeared to him and two forms appeared to him, excuse me. A bright light overshadowed him, two forms appeared to him, and he saw two personages, and that's when he asked the question. And the one said, "This is my son, hear him." Well, nowhere in Scripture do we have God the Father and God the Son appearing to anyone and God introduced his son. If the Scripture has already said that no man can see the face of God, Moses, who is the pinnacle in every faith, in every religion of holy men, if he didn't see the face of God and only saw the hind part of God, the exhaust, the fumes that comes off of God, and he was lit up for 40 days that they had to put a veil on his face because they couldn't see him because of the strength of that glow. Where was Joseph Smith at in this understanding? If he had read the scripture, he would realize that Satan had appeared to him as an angel of light and deceived him. And he went on to tell some little stuff back. So you have to realize when someone is saying they're of God, it can't contradict what God has already done, what God has already revealed. That's a very important key. And I didn't mean to spend much time on this, but maybe somebody needs to hear it. Maybe that was for somebody, so I make no apology for it. I must press upon, that's why we need the Bible. That's why you read the Bible. You try to see it by the Spirit to see if it's of God. The beauty, harmony of the Bible is from Genesis to Revelation. It does not contradict. Only the teachings of men contradict Scripture, not the Scripture themselves. We'll move on. So, John 13 in the New Living, and it says, "And God has given us his Spirit." And who? "And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him." So when you receive salvation and ask the Holy Spirit to live in your life, God has given that to you, given, and the reason that proves that God is in you, that you're part of the body of Christ, that it is for verification so that you know that you're saved. You know that you're saved because of the Holy Spirit. He bears witness of you. He bears witness in you, excuse me, that you are born again. Now let me keep on. So verse 13, we're in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're at verse 13 at this moment. "And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in..." Plug it up, excuse me. I unplugged my device. It's about to cut out on me. All right, there we go. Okay. "And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and know and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the whole world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God." We know much. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and who live in love live in God. God is love, and all who live in love love Now, we'll have to take another program to talk about this love, because there's a love out there now that's perverted, and it's not just love. But we'll talk about that another day. And love lives in God, and God lives in them. Verse 17, and as we live in God, our love grow more perfect. I know y'all don't like using that word perfect, but this word perfect here is not one of flawlessness. It is one of completion. It is about completing something, making something full, okay? It's not making something flawless without error, but it's making it full and complete. And so again, 17, and as we live in God, our love grows. That's a process. So that means you have this much love now, and it grows more perfectly, more complete, more full, okay? So we will not be afraid on, this is why your love must grow. This is why it's being perfected in you. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him, Christ, with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. We ain't waiting to get to heaven to live like Christ. We're living like Christ right here in the world. Jump to chapter 5. Turn your pages, your digital devices, over to chapter 5, verse 4. Chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For every child of God defeats this evil world. What? What the King James said. For everyone who is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Wow. So the New Living says, for every child of God defeats this evil world. I mean, you already got victory. And we achieve this victory through our faith. That's why we have conquering faith, and we let it grow day by day, because we have that victory already. Verse 5 says, and who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Only those that believe. So when you believe, you receive. You act upon. So again, I gave you a few questions that we were going to answer. Question number one, how do we recognize the spirit of Antichrist? How do we recognize that spirit of Antichrist or in false teachers? Well, verse number 3, 1 John chapter 4, it says, and every spirit that confess not that Jesus is Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So we know that false teachers, we know those that teaches another Jesus, of the Antichrist. In other words, when you begin to teach Jesus Christ any differently than what's recorded to us in the sacred scriptures, that is the spirit of Antichrist. When you begin to say he's something else, he's not part of some modalism. One day he's this, one day he's that. No. He always is who he is 24/7. Okay. So those that teaches another Jesus, or that Jesus is not the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, those are the ones that have the spirit of Antichrist. He is not an exalted man or enlightened man. No. He wasn't just another good prophet. No. So there is a difference. Okay. So our next question was, what role does the Holy Ghost play in the life of in the believer's life, or the life of the believer? Okay, what role does he play? Well, he plays the role of witness, the spirit of truth. Amen. And he plays that role. Something that he does, he reveals Christ and testify of him. He is the spirit of truth. So the spirit of God bear witness of God, and it proves that you are in God because you have that same spirit. So that's what he does. That the role of the Holy Spirit is to assure you of your fellowship with God, your connection, the relationship that you are born again. Amen. Now, question number three. And I'm running out of time, so I may be a little quick on some because I want to get all six of them in. Why will we not be afraid on the day of judgment? Why will we not be afraid on the day of judgment? Well, number one, Christ is our advocate. In other words, he speaks for us. He defends us. Amen. So we don't have to be fearful of that day of judgment, because that day of judgment is one that's coming to declare punishment for those that have rejected him. So we don't have to fear the day of judgment. Amen. Verse 17, though, verse 17 in the King James says, let me turn back to it. No. Yeah. Okay, verse 17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. What is Christ in this world? He's a conqueror. He's overcoming. And so we have boldness now, not because of us, but because of Christ in us by the Holy Spirit. So we have that because Christ has given that to us. Amen. So question number four, how do we ensure that confession does not become arrogance that turns others away rather than attract them to Christ? Well, in chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, kind of answer that for us. But when we, in life, we can all develop our own personality of boldness and confidence of who we are and what we are able to do. when it comes down to soul winning and trying to witness Christ to others, it's not about you knowing more than them. It's not about you having something that they don't. And when you keep it in perspective of my job is a post person, the mail person. My job is to deliver. My job is to see that they receive it. My job is not to make them go and pay the bill. But my job is to ensure that it is delivered so that they can read it, receive it, etc. So when we are representing Christ, number one, if the Bible says common people heard him gladly, and thereby hearing us gladly, maybe we're not speaking what he spoke. Maybe we're not saying what he said. Maybe we're not doing what he did. So one way that we can ensure that our confidence don't run people away is we remain humble and stay like Jesus, be like Jesus. Jesus didn't come boasting of himself, never. Not one time in Scripture do we see him boast of himself. When they was asking him about him and who gave you this power, he said, man, if I told you, they told him, your witness is false, man. He said, my witness is not false. There's one that bears witness of me. But if you don't believe me, believe the work that I do. He said, man, I'm just talking to the scribes and Pharisees. He said, if y'all don't believe who I say I am, then believe the works. In other words, examine what you see. Judge whether or not any of you can do the things that I've done regularly. And so he remained humble. He said, my will is to do the will of him that sent me. So if we remain humble, if we stay true to the facts about who Christ is, that'll help others not to be pushed away from. Being a follower of Christ is not a bunch of don't do's, but it really is don't you know. Didn't you know? Because the doors open up the kingdom of God, the benefits of the kingdom, the joy of the kingdom. And so there's, when we say we're saved, a lot of people don't understand that word being saved. And even Christians, you can ask them, say, well, what are you saved from? And many of them pause for a long time. And then they go back to, well, you know, I'm just, you know, Christ is in my heart. That ain't what I ask you. What are you saved from? You say you're saved. You know, if I save a box of cookies, I'm saving them for another time. If a child was about to run in the street and I snatched them by, I saved her from being hit. So if you're saved, what do you say for or from? Well, we are saved from that day of judgment. That's the purpose of salvation, to spare us from that terrible day of judgment. Many people like to say, well, I'm saved to go to heaven. Well, then why you ain't there? Yeah, you see where I'm going? So we're saved more than just a ticket to heaven. Being saved is more than just a ticket to heaven. And that being saved is saving me from that day of judgment for to continue the good work that Christ left us to do. He said, and greater works shall ye do. Before he ascended on high, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things that I've commanded you. So we are saved, not just so we can go to heaven, but we are saved to do or to finish the good work. Not the work of the cross, not the work for salvation, but the work of spreading the good news. How can they be saved if they have not heard the gospel? How can they hear the gospel except somebody with the gospel preach the gospel? And how can the gospel be preached except there be a preacher to preach the gospel? And how can the preacher preach the gospel except he been sent to preach the gospel? The preacher is not someone who went to seminary. The preacher is someone who began to share and proclaim what was given. That's the preacher. Different from a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor just to preach. We watch television daily, and we have all kinds of commercials coming on, and every now and then somebody preaches their product. Somebody proclaims to you their product. There's a character now on television that's so great to when you see her character, you're wondering which one it's going to be. Most of us can probably mimic many of her things that she does. I'm talking about Flo from Progressive. She preaches progressive insurance. They even had one episode where she's sitting on the beach and they're supposed to be taking it easy and not talking insurance. But it's so trapped up in her, as she hears in the distance people who got issues concerning insurance, that she gets up and runs, and she grabs her apron, she puts her aprons on, and she's running, and she starts talking about how to save. Because there was something on the inside of her that wouldn't stay inside. She is hands down an effective preacher. You may be like me, an all-state person, the good hands people. But it's something about progressives that makes you say, well, if I didn't have this one, I'd sure get that one. It's something about the way she delivers, it makes you feel, without any other evidence, man, that got to be some good insurance. She's too happy about it. That's the preacher. Now, if the world can do that about their faith, how much more should we, the body of Christ, be about God's faith? It should be in us. So much till we got to let it out. Overflow. All right. Question number five. So I answered question number four. How do we ensure that confidence does not become arrogance, okay? In terms of the way. So we have to focus on Christ, you know, and keep that the focus. It's about him. It's not about us. Keep the focus on God. Even though you may be doing a lot of things, even though you may have a lot of accomplishments, let's keep the focus on Christ, because at the end of the day, you and I do not have heaven or hell to send anybody. I don't care what you say. don't care how you like it or dislike it. The truth of the matter is, I don't own hell and I don't own heaven. Period. None of us do. So the only person that really has full rights to govern who comes and who goes there is the one that owns it. This is my house that I'm in right now. I don't care who you is, you can't just come up in my house. And I'm one of them preachers that bear arms. So you can come up in here if you want to. Peace going to be with you as you leave. But anyway, so since we don't own heaven or hell, we're simply messengers about their destination. We're simply messengers to let others know, listen, all have sin that comes short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Death is eternal separation from God in hell fire. Hell at the day of judgment shall be cast at the day of the great white foe shall be cast in the lake of fire. I mean, whatever intensity that it is, it's going to get turned up. So, no, I don't want to go to hell. That's when you put that door back behind that hell. No, I'm not for me. How do we battle against and overcome the world while showing the love of God? Oh, wow. That's a good one. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. It says, and we know and we have known and believe that the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwell in love dwell in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. So how do we battle against this world? We keep applying the love of God in our life and allowing that love to run over to others. See, when I love you, I'm not trying to hurt you. When I love you, I'm not trying to destroy you or to get over on you. When I love you, I don't steal from you. I don't lie to you. When I love you, I'm mindful of who you are and that we are different. And so, although I'm in the world, I don't have to be of the world. I can let them have their differences. I don't have to be angry because they choose not to serve God yet. I continue to pray for them that at some point in their life that they would receive truth and make the informed and intelligent decision to true life. Amen. Amen. Hold that thought 1 second. And so we want to, that was my interview for tonight, but we're at the end of the program, so we're going to reschedule that for next week. Amen. And we'll do that next week. My interviews tonight would have been a gospel preacher, gospel singer, who's not only is dealing with blindness, but also is dealing with a lost limb. And I wanted him to share the story with you all on overcoming. And because of his position in the church as a Sunday school superintendent, I was going to have him share his points of view with these questions on tonight. But we'll do this at another time, God permits us to do. Amen. Question number 6. So to finish my answer, allowing our love to be made perfect. The more our love become perfect, the more we have victory in this world, the more we overcome this world. Because there's a lot of things that will make you mad about this world. There's a lot of things that will get you frustrated about this world. So we have to let our love be made perfect. Amen. Okay. So number six at the final, and we're at our end. Glory to God. Christ, Jesus Christ, already declared victory. He's already declared victory. Victory over the world. So why is this significant for believers to remember? If we remember or if we remain in him, then we also have victory. Condition. It says if we remain in him, we also have victory. So it's possible to be in this world and not have victory, even though you love God and serve God. Because if you're not operating in God, if you're not living according to God's word, then you'll be overcome instead of being the overcomer. So if we remain in him, then we also have victory in this world. It says that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcomes this world. Period. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son